Thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And just continue believing in Him and waiting on Him and trusting in Him. You know, I wanted to just to look at Psalm 78. And it's one of the interesting psalms that speaks about the danger of, you know, forgetting and rebellion, and mostly speaks about the children of Israel and the journey that they went through with God, and yet still God showed them kindness. You know, they're nations that God chose, and it wasn't because that they were righteous. In fact, the Bible says God chose Israel because of the wickedness of the surrounding nations, that God thought and God desired to have a nation that was set apart for Himself, that could be an example to the other nations of what, if they chose God, what God could do with a nation. And so when He desired that, and eventually Israel was not forthcoming, then He brought us through Christ. And that's why, you know, the book of Peter speaks that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what God could not accomplish with Israel, He accomplishes with the church. And the church becomes that holy nation, that nation that is set apart and for His purposes, and that will be established to do the will of God. But yet, of course, the scriptures are there to give us clarity and to show us the interactions that God had with the Israelites, and also serving as warning. You know, the Bible tells us that everything that is written in the scriptures is written for our learning. As you know, for us, we have their stories to see and to draw lessons from, and such that we do not make similar mistakes, but we also can, you know, can achieve the destiny that God wants us to be. Because it's a journey, it's a walk. You know, when you think about the, you know, when God speaks in Hebrews chapter 4 that the promise of entering into God's rest is still available for everyone, and yet, you know, people harden their heart, and yet He wants people not to harden their heart like the days of rebellion, like the days of the Israelites, because they had the same word. You know, the same word was that God wanted to give them rest. God wanted them to be His people, but that word did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. So there is always a danger of God, of not receiving the word of God with faith. It's possible to hear the word of God, yes. It's possible to pray and fast. You know, there are people who always go into prayer and fasting to hear the word of God. And yet the word of God comes. But you see, the way when the word of God comes, it can be such that it is quite, you know, it pushes you beyond your limits. And if you're to reason it from the human capacity, you will look at your inadequacies. But you see, because God has spoken, that word has the capacity to profit you. But unless you mix it with faith, then you miss out on it. And sadly, what the scriptures describe is they limited the Holy One of Israel. And maybe let's read. It's quite some verses, but it will give us some insight into this. And it's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the peoples who would help David with the music. So Psalm 78, the Bible says, verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done." Verse 5, "He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation might come, that to come might know them, that children who will be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, stand back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. You know, so he was speaking about how the children of Israel, yes, they were given a command. You know, this book of the law, do not let it depart from your mouth. Teach your children, walk with them, encourage them. But you see, what happens is, first of all, they did not set their hope in God. You know, their hearts were not like attuned to God. And the children of Ephraim, remember, these are the descendants of Israel, the two sons of Joseph were Ephraim and Manasseh. So Ephraim, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, and they did not keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. So they forgot what God had done for them. They did the wonders that God has done, and they refused to walk in his works. And then verse 12 starts to describe the marvelous things that God has done. Look at what God had done for them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance, like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rocks and caused the waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their hearts by asking for food, for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Then the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. And yet he had commanded the clouds above them and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. And verse 26, he caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of the camps and all around their dwellings. So they ate and they were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while the food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. And verse 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. Just a pause there. Quickly, when you see what God did for them, you know, God like brought them with a mighty hand. You know, the deliverance was there. He slew the Egyptians. You know, he opened the way in the wilderness. He, you know, he made a way for them. He protected them. These were people who during the day were covered by a cloud, and at night there was a pillar of fire that was guiding and giving them, you know, right temperature. You know, it's like an, you know, the way people say you cannot put AC in the wilderness, in the open. God actually gave them a clear protection, a clear environment that was unique. They could see the signs, yet they still doubted God. You know, for them it was, God was a God of performance. They are like, okay, we want this. In fact, they were like, okay, we can go, can he give us water? Okay, God is like, fine, I'll give you water. Then now they started to bring in their fancies. They start to bring in their ideas. Oh, can he give us meat? God brought the meat. Can he give us, you know, all this? And they kept asking and asking. And all that they were doing is they were just being unfaithful, not to see what God has done. You can imagine what stubbornness of heart and what rebellion is that, that God is already, you're already in the midst of a wonder-working miracle that is taking place, yet your heart is not set aright that you can still be faithful to God. And this is a challenge of where, especially where people, you know, work with God from a performance basis. You know, I was listening to someone who, I think it was, I was reading somewhere where someone was saying that she was in this other industry and she was doing funny things. Then she decided to give God 6 months. She was like, I'm going to turn to Christianity and I'm going to give God 6 months. And in 6 months, I want him to take care of me, you know, the way to prove to me that he is God and all that. And you think God will do anything? In fact, she describes that those 6 months were the hardest of her life. And of course, she was debating to go back into what she was doing. But you see, it's like you're working with from God from a performance perspective, where it's like, God, I've given you this time. If you don't do it, me, I'm going back to the world. In fact, God will say, don't even waste your time. Go to your back to the world now, because God does not work from that perspective. And you can see this is how the Israelites were doing. They were like, ah, can you give it? It was more about their fancies and their cravings. They wanted whatever it is that they wanted. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? You know, can he give us water? You know, they did not believe in the salvation of God. They did not believe in what God could do. And what does God do? He gives them bread of angels. In fact, the Bible calls it angels' food, manna. He gave them manna. In fact, the manna was, they are the ones who called it manna. But you see, the scripture is calling it angel's food. Because manna means, what is it? They had no idea what it was. So they just called it, what is it? Then after they were given the bread, then they were asking for the water. After the water, then they were asking for the meat. And yet God has to judge them. And he does all these wondrous things before them. And yet they were not convinced. They did not remember of God. Look at verse 32. In spite of this, they still sinned. They did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him. Then they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Verse 36. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. And they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Verse 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and turned and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams they could not drink. One of the keywords here is verse 41. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? They did not remember his power. You know, God, one of the dangers that we have is we forget too easily. We can face a challenge today that can make us forget the miracles that God did in the past. Yes, you're facing a problem now. Yes, it looks like it is impossible. But think about the impossibilities that God has already answered in the past. Maybe it was the trust of God for a breakthrough or for a child or for a job. God did amazing things. And one of the dangers of our walk with God is forgetting. If we forget what God has done in the midst of our trial, then it's like we are calling God unfaithful. And this is what the Israelites were calling. It's like they could not remember. When all these questions, can God do this? Can God do this? And that's why he says, yet again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, when we bring in doubt when God has spoken, you know, one of the things that God does is he releases his word in our lives in every season, in every time, in every day. There's always something that God is speaking to us. And instead of we believing and moving on to it, at times we don't mix it with faith. It does not profit us, and we limit God. Sadly, when we limit God, then we are not going to benefit from our walk with God. And he was just trying to tell them, but look here, they did not remember his power. Verse 42, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Verse 43, when he worked signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, he turned the rivers into blood, their streams they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs. You see, all this was judgment against the Egyptians. He even, verse 51, he destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in their tents, but he made his people go forth like sheep and guided them like a flock. Verse 53, he led them on safely so they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. 54, and he brought them to his holy border, the mountain which is his right hand he had acquired. 55, he drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Verse 56, yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel. You know, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh and the tent he had placed among them. He delivered them, his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. So you can see that, you know, God struggled with the people of Israel. He did his best. He continually remembered them, yet they still turned back. They forgot. They continually turned back. Time and time again. Time and time again, they limited the Holy One of Israel. When we forget what God has done, when we forget who he is in our lives, we can find ourselves going back and going back and going back. Yet these are not times to go back. We should not only seek God when things are tough, but continually. It is a place of intimacy. It's a place where, you know what, by the strength that he gives us, we come to him because we love him. Not out of, you know, of duty, but out of love, out of passion, out of strength. And then he's able to make us willing. You know, when he says, it is he that makes us willing, you know, to both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. But you see, God always, in all his sayings, he always leaves us with hope. And you can see even in the conclusion of this chapter, towards verse 67, he still returns them hope. He says, verse 67, moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob's people and Israel's inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. God, in his mercy, will always still remember his people. If we can see the difficulties that the Israelites went through, the hardness, their rebellion, they are turning back, they are forgetting God, they are testing God, they are tempting him, they are limiting him. But yet, time and time again, we see the mercies of God, the return of God, the favor of God, the remembrance of God, they're still sending them help. Even in all this, God still sends them David, you know, to shepherd them with the integrity of his heart. So God's love is equals to man's rebellion. That's a reality of life. God's love is equal to man's rebellion. In fact, Paul speaks it and says, grace, in the midst where there is increase of wickedness, there was abounding of grace. With God and man remains a mystery that we'll never understand. Because even the vilest of sinners, before God can be shown mercy, and God can choose to show them mercy. Why? Because his love is equal to whatever rebellion that we bring forth. But we are called forth to see his love. We are called forth to see his love as love, and his love will keep us. His love will enable us. His love will sustain us. The Israelites serve as a warning to us. You know, we can walk with God. We can struggle here and there. But if we are patient, when the Bible says to do it, if you hear his heart, his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the days of rebellion. There is an opportunity to enter into God's rest. God wants his children to enter into his rest. His rest is the place of his love, the place of obedience, the place of being content with what God has done with you and with what God is doing. And not tempt him in the place where you doubt his capacity because of what you don't have at the moment. God's love is equal to our rebellion, and it goes beyond it. And God still says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Mix the word of God with faith, and it will profit you. It will profit you. I think I'll stop here. I just felt we can do a reflection on that, and then I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome.
Thank you, Philip. It's interesting to know. Indeed, God's blessings and rebellion. Sometimes we take things for granted, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when God is answering our prayers at a particular moment, think it's because of our own doings, then we forget that we are favored among many who have been asking for some of this, you know, help and assistance from God. But from among many, he chooses to bless us. But it's so sad that this short lasting, the memory that we hold of the blessings that God gave us is shorter than the memory we hold in rebellion. Rebellion may not be outrightly provoking God as the children of Israel were doing, asking this and all that, but also in the simple acts of not doing things the godly way. It's also the act of rebellion. When you're sinning, you're doing things that you know you're not supposed to do. So often we fall back to that default setting so easily that, you know, sometimes it's just that God is merciful.
Yeah.
Because he does not look back and say, oh, I blessed this one and now look how it's doing. Let me never bless you again because I have seen it. And I bless you to do this. But I think we have fallen short of the glory of God in all ways. As you're speaking, I was just thinking, and when you gave the example, I said that when God blessed me with a child, imagine the first thing that came in my mind at first. I was like, maybe I didn't put on diet, I didn't put on a few things here, you know. Then later I said, no, it's God. Forget about, you know, what you have done. Yet before that, you pray. Now when God blesses you, the first thing that comes in you naturally, you think it's your own doing.
True.
No, so it's so sometimes we just keep praying to God for His mercy because it's pretty disappointing sometimes. I'll just stop you.
It's a powerful reflection because it's practical, and we are not in any way different from the Israelites because we are flesh. But that, you know, God shows us, and I love the Bible because it does not hide weaknesses. Whenever it's Abraham, God shows us his weakness. He birthed Ishmael. You know, he did all this. He handed over his wife. Whether it's David, God shows us his weakness. And not just once. You know, David, you know, with Bathsheba, beyond that with his children, he does not act. Beyond that, he counts the, you know, the fighting men. You would have thought that he should have learned, you know. but yet God still calls him, this is a man after my own heart. And that's the beauty of God. Like, he has decided to demonstrate his love for man by always opening up his hand. You know, the other day I was reflecting, I was asking myself, the woman who was caught in adultery, And I asked myself a question. If she was caught a second time and brought to Jesus,
yes,
what will Jesus have done the second time? You know, at times we always be like, yeah, you know, the human nature is to tell, go and sin no more. She was told to go and sin no more. Now she must be judged. That is the human perspective. But then, what was in my heart was that Jesus will still do the same. He will ask, turn around and ask them, if anyone who is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. Why? Because this human being is still alive. That means still has an opportunity to turn back to God. And when you think about it, even think about the prodigal son. If the prodigal son ran away a second time, you know, our human mind is to tell us that, no, that one you cannot say, it's over. No. When Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 77 times, seven times. Seven times. How many times will I forgive you? He said 77 times, seven times in a day. We cannot exhaust God's love. And the Israelites tested. But it still ends with God still sending them a shepherd. But anyway, it's something to reflect upon, and it's something to go back and cling on that love of God. That his love is equal, it's far much, and it oversees our rebellion, it oversees our forgetfulness, it oversees our pride. But that love is to draw us closer to him, not as a license for sin. You know, if you use that now as an excuse to run around and do whatever you want, then you are not really transformed. You've not understood the sacrifice. But also, you must also not lock yourself out of God's mercy, that you cannot come back to him. And that's where the devil enjoys, what is it called, accusation. He's the master of accusation. And by his accusation, he will put you in a place where you cannot come back to God for mercy. Yet mercy is available as long as you can come back to him. Yeah, anyway, that's the beauty of God. And at times you have to reflect on these things that in your life. And I just know that door of mercy is always available, and God will sustain us and keep us. Sure, let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your love, your grace and power. On our own capacity, we cannot stand. On our own abilities, we are inadequate, we are nothing. And we have seen, even in the life of the Israelites, from time and time again, they forgot you, they limited you, they embarrassed you, they went back on their rebellion. But let us see, your love and mercy was equal to them, to meet them at their point, even of their rebellion, at the point of their craving. You still met them, but you desired that they stand firm in truth to know you better. It was a relationship that you desired. I pray this morning, restore that which we have lost. Forgive us where we've forgotten you, and restore the intimacy, the love, the desire for your presence, the desire for the things of God, that we not forget, we not trust in our own capacity, but we lean on you, on what you have done and what you are doing, on what you are able to do in our lives. May we continue to honor you, to trust in you, and may we not limit you in any way. We commit this day ahead of us in the journeys, in the staying. The Lord, your presence and power goes ahead of us, strengthen and remember us. Remember our families, watch over them, preserve and protect them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed day.